Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. News just within the last few minutes. Oil is spiking because of concerns about instability in Nigeria. It's up more than $3 a barrel. And also, the markets seem to be rattled by that. The Wall Street is set to open lower this morning, at least according to the futures. Bob on our website says, free markets away, savings and loan, junk bonds, web IPOs, Enron mortgages, regulators. We don't need no stinking regulators, referring to my interview with Gretchen Morgenson just a moment ago. Take questions today. What technology did you buy too early? Thinking about the iPhone that goes on sale today. What did you get too early that didn't quite make it? Were you a Betacam buyer? Were you a Betamax buyer? Also, who needs to apologize? And that relates to a story that's coming up next.
We are Adora? Talking about an apology. It's a new day at the American Medical Association. Yesterday, the association issued an historic apology to black physicians who for decades were actively excluded and forbidden to participate in the American Medical Association. Though the organization was founded in 1847, it wasn't until 1964, just over 40 years ago, that they allowed blacks to become more than half members. Dr. George C. Debnam, a trustee at Shaw University and a general practitioner who practiced for 50 years, joins us now. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Debnam.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. And take us back to 1955 when you were a young doctor. What did the AMA offer you?
In 1955, they offered a scientific membership. Which excluded all social activities. That included dinners, dances. It included anything other than a scientific discussion of a disease, especially a lecture. That was only the lecture, the scientific part of it. All the other aspects of it was excluded from us.
So you were seeing patients, you were treating patients, you were being a doctor, committed to your profession, but you weren't allowed to participate in those kinds of discussions with other doctors. How did that make you feel?
Well, of course, my society, of which in 1895, because of the exclusion, the black doctors developed their own medical society in 1895. And, of course, we had a chapter of that where I practiced and in the state of North Carolina, state organization. And, of course, it decided that if we weren't going to receive full representation, we weren't going to receive full membership, that we didn't want at that particular time to get a halfway membership of that type of thing. So we voted not to accept that and to wait until they were able to offer us a full membership.
Now, two of your friends, one of them who was actually your fraternity brother, they chose to join. Why didn't you take that scientific membership from the AMA?
The organization had voted not to accept that, and our organization was very, very strong on that. We had a large number of doctors in North Carolina, and they felt that that was not the correct way to go about in 1955. This was not the best way to go about seeking equality, quality care, to take care of our patients. We decided that was not a proper mode of membership, and therefore, I, of course, went along with my organization.
With the National Medical Association. So let's come back to today. The American Medical Association is now apologizing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it is very, very wonderful that they are doing this. They are very, very late on this. They are late, but it's better late than never. And we appreciate so much that they are doing that now. Now, keep in mind, I was here in North Carolina. That was a little different than people in Mississippi and Georgia, other places. We had five good black hospitals here in North Carolina. So I always was able to practice in a hospital alongside with doctors, white doctors.
Oh, that's interesting.
But was in a segregated black hospital with not enough facilities in order to take care of what the hospital across town who took care of only white patients took care of.
Dr. Denham, let me ask you this. You have two daughters who are now doctors. It's become a family business. What do you think this apology means for them and their careers?
Well, it means a great deal for them because they, too, are old enough to realize what segregation. We both went to the same medical school in Nashville, Tennessee, which was predominantly, at the time they went, of course, you know, after the 60s.
You're talking about Meharry.
That's correct. Right, that's right. Things had begun to break open a little bit because, see, in 1964, the government, began to, under President Lyndon B. Johnson, they began to withhold money from those hospitals and things that still excluded black physicians. So that's why the AMA accepted us into it to start with, was under federal pressure. I can remember here in Raleigh, two men came from Washington, D.C., and did not let the all-white hospital get its Medicaid and Medicare.
So it began as a forced integration, and today the American Medical Association is taking it upon themselves. Dr. Debnam, retired general practitioner, sir, thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you so very much.
He's one magnanimous guy.
He really is.
He rejects that degrading scientific membership, but he accepts the apology. I would have just told the AMA to just shove it.